All right, so with that, next up on our agenda, we have the report from the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean Claiborne, the chair.
Thank you. WDIC met, and one of the things we had an opportunity as a committee to quickly review the results of the work from when the legislators and department heads got together on our workplace survey, climate survey, and begin to talk about what are the things that are that we had already began working on even before now for implementation, some of the plan of action steps that came forward, as well as looking at what committees will need to form on others that we hadn't been working on yet. So simultaneously doing some of that work. One of the things that we did realize, because folks, one of the areas that stood out to us had to do with policy around diversity and inclusion, and we realized that this body had passed a policy when we first got started as WDIC. We had written, following the statement, the adopted statement, we had written some policy to go with it along with the statement. However, that policy had never made it into our policies and procedures manual. So we began to look at that and to talk about it to get it into the current format for policies and procedures so that we can then have it included as part of our ongoing policies and procedures. So Paula Younger, thanks to her for a lot of her work on this, and Karen for digging it up, as I vaguely recall, I thought we had a policy, and others, we will continue to meet and make sure that we have that in the right format and language to be included in our procedures. So that was one of the action steps for clarity for many of the department heads and our staff who wanted clarity about what, you know, some of these things mean, that we would have accomplished relatively soon and relatively quickly. So I wanted to share that. That was the bulk of our meeting, was really going over those action steps and where do we go from here. We continue to be in conversation with our counterparts in Seattle about some of the work that they have been doing. They sent us a ton of documents, which are very, very useful. And also with some different heads, I don't remember exactly from where, but getting together to revisit the piece around civil service. We're thankful for the work that was done by the CEPA students, which we're going to pull out again and look at and hopefully engage our State Civil Service Commission in dialogue again about the civil service exams and some of the barriers that it presents and some ways that we can work together to do different, not entirely get rid of the system, but maybe there are ways to tweak it and do some different things. So that conversation is beginning to happen again at WDIC. That's my report.
Thank you, Leslie. Any comments or questions? All right. With that, we'll move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Carol Chalk, Chair.
Okay.
Excuse me. You skipped one.
Oh, I skipped one. Oh, I'm sorry. my apologies. Carol, I'm going to go to Health and Human Services instead. So, all right. Yes. So Health and Human Services Committee.
I yield the floor to my esteemed colleague.
Yes. Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you. Nathan, Vice Chair. I'm trying to think of the... I thought Nathan's first official act as vice chair this evening was going to be asking all of us to submit the last 7 years of our income taxes for public scrutiny, but I'll wait for you to say that.
Okay, all right.
Is that a dig?
The Health Committee, it will be meeting next Tuesday, a week from today. A couple of things that we'll probably have updates on. we haven't had a report for some time on the status of the CHA applications statewide. That special committee is supposed to be meeting in Rochester, as I understand it, and we'd like to know who is in the running for the second as the second potential CHA in our area. It's been delayed, as you know, and we'd like to get something going on that. The second item is the update on the Care Transitions Program that we did receive recognition for. It's been a little slow in getting started because the referrals have not been coming as quickly as we had hoped, but we'll get an update on that. And those of you that saw today's paper, the Medicaid redesign team at the state level, I think it would be wise if we had some sort of a report. Maybe Martha, who sits on that group at the state level, we can get an idea of what the impact of the governor's proposal. It's to redirect some several billion dollars into a different segment, and I think knowing how that may impact us would be important. Last item, I'm going to ask Dr. Klapek and the Board of Health, and perhaps through Will. A year or so ago, we had a special report and also a special alert to the community on an invasive species called the hogwort. It grows about 6 feet tall, and it looks like Queen Anne's lace, but it's certainly more potent than that. With the drought that we've been having, these things are going bananas. And we did quite a nice report a couple of years ago, and I'm going to see if we can't put something out again like we do on the rabies. With that, Mr. Vice Chair, I will end my report.
Thank you, Frank. Martha, you have a comment?
The Medicaid redesign team that I was on disbanded in around March or so. So I'm not on anymore, but I'm still on a listserv. So we got a message from Jason Helgerson, who's the head of Medicaid in the administration on the second floor. They included a press release and a link to the full report and asked for comment and actually asked for support from counties and providers because we have to get permission from the federal government for this. So I sent the whole thing to Lisa Holmes, Sue Romanchik Smelter. Did I say that right? Frank Krupa and Patricia Carey and asked for their comments. And as of this morning, I got some comments back from Lisa, and she said, it looks good. Looks like there could be some definite benefits for Tompkins County. There was one relatively small area of concern, which was she wasn't sure whether the Health Planning Council with Betty Falco's group would remain in she's affiliated with the Central New York, I guess the Syracuse region, and it looks like they would put her in the Southern Tier region. So she was going to check with Betty. The idea is, because of the Medicaid changes that they made at the state level, actually in the first year of the governor's tenure, they have saved $10 billion, and they also save the federal government, I think they've saved the Fed, $17 billion because, of course, of the match. So the idea is they're asking the federal government to reinvest $10 billion of that into New York State, $10 billion of that 17 into New York State for various things that will help implement the Affordable Care Act, including primary care, some more primary care clinics. Lisa's statement about what would happen in Tompkins County had to do with more assisted living beds for Medicaid-eligible folks, which we have none of right now. We have no – if somebody – needs care, there's no Medicaid assisted living, and if you need that kind of care, you end up going into a full nursing home, which obviously isn't good for anybody. So there are a number of things that are in that mix. I can forward the whole thing to you all. I'm sure it would probably be a good topic for next HHS.
Could you, Martha, forward me what the state forwarded you and also the comments from any of the department heads?
Sure, absolutely.
What's the deadline on comments back to the state?
I don't remember one. I mean, this is the sort of thing that's going to take a while. Basically, I mean, what they're doing is they're asking the feds, since they've documented that they've saved $17 billion of federal money, that let the feds keep $7 billion and reinvest $10 billion. So I think it seems like a great plan. I had nothing to do. I was not on the committee that worked on that, but I'll send all that stuff to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Martha. Any other comments for the Health and Human Services Committee? All right. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
All right. Now, moving on to the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Yes. There is now a copy of that Airport Green Master Plan. It has a green cover in the back, and I urge you to look at it either there or online. The committee met on this past Friday, so most of the resolutions that we passed and spent time on won't come to you until our next meeting, so you'll hear about them then. We did hear a report of a meeting that was held in town of Ulysses about the Waterbrook Road Bridge. So one of the big things that our committee has wanted to stress is with improved communication with the public about upcoming projects and communication at earlier stages. So about 16 or 18 residents came out. Jim Dennis was there, and our staff presented preliminary inquiries about and information about what the county needs to do to rebuild a bridge, one of those bridges, in the pre-1952 bridge report that we really need some attention to. And it was a very productive discussion, sort of some of the best of the ways that we'd like to see us talking to our residents about how to proceed with these projects. I can pass this around if you'd like to see it. It's the information they've got handed out, or I can have it distributed. Pine Tree Road, we are still waiting for final word. It's just been a high and highs and lows, because we hear one day that it's looking good for our $500,000 funding application to the state, and then the next day we hear it's not so good. So God only knows where that will end up. Depending on where that ends up, you know, the committee's could have to go back to a few steps and figure out where to recommend going with that. So let's see. We had on our agenda pulled from any decision making, but did talk about some the green building policy, and that's of interest to the rest of you because it will be coming through two or three other committees, and neither Arell from Facilities nor Ed Marks from PDEC from Planning could be there. So we didn't want to make any decisions, but we did come forward with some suggested wording especially in terms of the aims of this policy that we hope that as other committees take this up that you will consider whether to include that. What else? One of the things that will be coming to you next time is the bids were opened for the Casella. It was only one bidder for our curbside collection, trash collection. And that we only got one bid for, but for some of the other bids that we looked at during this meeting, it was really striking how wide a range there was among the bids. I mean, we're talking literally hundreds of thousands of dollars, 50%, you know, bids 50% as large as others. And we're not entirely sure why, so that's something we want to look further into. And other than that, it all will be coming back to you. So if there are questions, I'm happy to answer them. Or if other people from the committee think that I ought to be mentioning.
All right, I have Jim, and then I have a question.
Carol, I have a question. I've been contacted by some of the residents who were at that meeting, and they want to know how to stay linked up to the project. And are we going to be sending out emails from your committee or from the highway department so that they know how the process is going to be moving forward?
Yeah, what we've done on other projects, and that I'm assuming that John Lampman will do, is we did collect email addresses, and he will send out an email when there's anything else
to know.
So
you can assure me of that?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the other thing that I've told residents who've asked me has been that, you know, we meet the first Friday of every month, and where they can check our agenda.
Okay.
But,
thank you.
We're pretty committed, and I think we've lived up to in other projects that we don't, you know, we let them know when things are coming up.
I have just a general question, and Joe, maybe you can help me answer this, or Carol. You know, is that generally when we put something out to bid, do we do pre-bid meetings with where we invite a bunch of contractors in and we go over the projects, and so that way everybody's kind of on the same tape, same
larger projects? Yes, we do.
For what?
For larger projects?
Yes.
Yes,
okay.
We do.
All right. Okay. Just curious. All right, thanks. Okay. Anything else? All right. Moving on to Capital Plan Review Committee. Mike Lane, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've actually met twice since our last legislative meeting. We had a regular meeting and we had a special meeting. First, I want to make a comment about having to withdraw the resolution to moving forward with the Center Ithaca lease. I really want to thank Joe Mariana and Pat Buchel and Harrell Lamaro particularly for all the heavy lifting they did on this to try to put this together. We had this legislature almost 2 years ago had given county administration the task of moving the programs out of the old library. This seemed like a good fit. It had been worked on heavily, been brought through committee. The developer, Mr. Travis, had come to our committee with a PowerPoint presentation urging us to lease this space from them. We thought it was a good fit, and we moved ahead with it. As Joe said, we had a resolution on for tonight to move this. The papers were at the attorney's offices. And all of a sudden, the rug was yanked out from under us. This was a sad day in the good spirit of working together. This developer had received help from county pilot agreements and other things over the past. So we're kind of felt bad that this happened to us and a little hurt about it. I think this... in my opinion, wrote another sad chapter in the checkered history of the Center Ithaca building. Any of us who knows the history of that and the problems it has had over the years and the good times it's had over the years know that it's been an up and down over there. But I, for one, think that we will come through this and that we will have a good opportunity that will come along and we will still be able to serve the people of Tompkins County. So that's my little speech on that one.
Thank you, Mike.
I wanted to tell you that it's my understanding that work has begun on the renovation of the Human Services building. Is that right, Joe?
It should start this week, beginning with some abatement. Yeah.
Okay. So that's moving ahead based on the decision made at the last meeting to accept the bids by this legislature. We will be taking up at our county Capital Plan Review Committee, and I assume the Budget Committee, about that extra $75,000 we've got to decide about how we're going to handle that. And our last meeting was a special meeting with the architects for the move to the old courthouse. We met actually at the old courthouse. They had set up the room as close as they could to what it will look like based on their plan. They wanted us to do two things, particularly to talk about the acoustic project, how the room could be better silenced from the echoing by the application of various acoustical treatments to the walls. And the other thing was the location of the projector and the screen for the board when we have presentations like we had tonight. The two choices on the screen location were to have it behind a very large screen behind the podium, and the projector in the control room in the balcony area of that building, or to have a double projector hung from the ceiling pointing at two screens, a little smaller screens, and since that it would be like, if you think about it, there'd be a screen where the quilt is and one where this other camera is. So the half of the room would be looking at one screen and the other half of the room would be looking at the other screen, which had some advantages because people wouldn't be looking away from their microphones when they're talking. They'd be looking straight ahead. The committee reviewed those and on a divided vote recommended that we go with the larger screen because there was some significant cost savings there, even though it will inconvenience the chair and people on the podium when they'll have to move it when the presentations are happening. But there was about a $45,000 savings. If folks feel differently about that, we don't have a lot of time to make a change about it, but that's what the committee decided. The other thing on the acoustics on the walls, we thought the architect should go slow on that. At one point they were talking about the engineer recommending 4-inch thick padding on the back walls. And we're thinking we'd like to see what would happen with the audio in there and whether or not we need as much acoustical treatment as may be recommended. We know we'll never be a full broadcast studio and don't really want that, but we want to be able to hear each other and we want the public to be able to hear properly on that. So those are the things we talked about mainly.
All right, I have Jim, then Martha, then Will.
And then thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make a comment about the Center Ithaca fiasco, and I use that word. I chose that word. I've been around here for over 30 years, dealt with many developers in two different elected jobs, and I think, you know, I know we've moved into the 21st century, but the county administrator has had experience with the likes of Bob Conjo and many Pyramid Corporation, many developers who are, in a sense, big-time developers. And the only thing that holds all those things together is your word. And what you can do. When you say something, then you're going to follow it up in a correct manner. And when you don't abide by your word, it causes difficulty. And I think we got caught up in that. And I was really disappointed to hear that happened to us. Frost Travis's father is a big part of this community, has done many things in this community, from owning small apartments to large to developing College Town, continue to work in historic preservation in Center Ithaca. And I don't know what his feelings are about that, but I would guess that he might be somewhat disappointed in knowing how the county feels about how we were treated in that whole process. And I hope as we move forward that other developers, what we're going to deal with, do not treat us the same way, because clearly we have to do that as we move forward, not only with that building, but other things we're trying to do.
All right, thank you, Jim. Martha?
Yeah, to be clear, the issue is not that they signed with somebody else. We, you know, that happens. We knew they were negotiating with somebody else. But Joe, in the negotiations, had made it very clear if they got to a point of being about to affirm the other deal, that we would get a phone call, that we would know that we might have the opportunity to improve our bid, for example. So it's a real problem. It definitely sets back moving that program out of the old library, possibly by years, unfortunately. But there is some little good news here in that because family treatment court will eventually be able to go into the basement of this building, the total space that we're looking for really is about 4,000 or 4,300 feet, which is really the same as the COFA space. So we the renovations that are about to be begun on the COFA space and the annex, should we find something else for COFA, day reporting can move into that space. Even with the slight changes we made to reduce the cost, I think it was the last meeting, we would be able to, those programs would be interchangeable in Human Services Annex. So because things do change in that way, it's a little bit less of a difficult problem. We don't need to find as much space as we have been looking for before.
Okay, Will, then Dooley.
Thank you, Nathan. Other topic that Mike talked about, the old courthouse and your committee's considering of options. I caught the tail end of that meeting, and I was rather surprised to see a sort of a mock-up of what I think will be the desk arrangement that was quite different from what I had remembered earlier. And I was wondering, I had remembered that originally that the public was going to essentially be sitting toward the back of the room on both sides, but now they seem to be only on the sides. Did I miss some step, or had the committee affirmatively accepted that particular table arrangement?
I think the legislature did. It was a little difficult because we were using tables as opposed to the curved desk that will be proposed. But the public seating is in the back corners mainly. There will be some staff seating behind the desks for the legislators, but I don't think that's a change.
Go ahead, Mark.
I think there was a change that we didn't expect, and it had to do, because it was even on the drawings, it had to do with the bench, the podium, the existing podium was gone in the drawings, and what they put in place had moved forward. So the whole arrangement shifted towards the back, and therefore there was now no room at the back by the door for any seating in the middle. And I raised that. I said, I'm pretty sure the consensus of this group had been, we really liked the historic bench. We understood the difficulty that it wasn't fully accessible. We felt that, well, if that's ever actually a problem, we'll deal with it, but that we really wanted them to design the room using that bench, and they hadn't. So that was restated, and I hope they come back with different drawings next time. So unless I remembered that wrong, and this is a good place to ask, to re-ask. But I remember especially Leslin saying we like the historic bench.
Yeah. Mike, you have a response?
Yeah, we certainly talked about it, and I think everyone likes the curvature of the decoration and the historic bench, but it would have to be made smaller. The two ends would have to be taken off anyway, and it has to be dropped down in order to have the handicapped accessibility that's required. Otherwise, the ramp would have taken a huge space in this room. So they were suggesting a new dais, and I suppose we could look at whatever other possibilities of cutting down the old one and bringing it forward. But I think they were doing their best to suggest it to us. Their drawings looked quite interesting. They would be wood desks. They would be wood dais. and they would be in keeping with the historic nature of the building, which is what they're planning.
Okay. I know, Julie, is your comment related to this discussion?
In part.
Okay, all right. Then I'll go Dewey and
but
then Pat.
Pat is only about that. That's
okay, all right. Pat, then why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I'm a little concerned by your comment, Martha. My recollection is more in line with what Mike just described, and my concern has to do with I don't remember us collectively agreeing that I remember talking about that we would like to be able to maintain the historical structure at the front of the room and that there would be a problem with accessibility and that we talked about ramps. I don't remember an agreement or a decision that we would go ahead with something that would not be accessible and then deal with it when it comes up, if it comes up. That would be very troubling to me if we were to go ahead under those that kind of an understanding. I think that would not meet what I would expect in terms of accessibility.
Carol, is your comment?
Yeah, this is about this. My memory was somewhere in between the two, which was that we would ask them, that we had decided to ask them to drop it down one step and give us cost estimates for a little lift that would raise it up if we need to and have the distance to have to go up two steps and give us options for how you would get up there. And then we would also be looking at what other means we could use, since there is this desk at the other end, so that you wouldn't, if somebody chairing a meeting, for example, does not have to be up on the dais. So I remembered something in between.
Okay.
And what I do remember us being in fairly good agreement about was the investigating the use of the actual wood. That's that historic wood, regardless of what height and where it is. And then the other factor that I'll throw in here was that they came back with the fact that right now it's a very high desk, and they're envisioning a desk you can sit at, which changes the height in relation to everybody.
Okay. Mike, do you have a response to that?
Yeah, I just want to say I think the idea of the lift, when that was brought up to the architects in a previous meeting, they said there would not be room to do that kind of thing in that area and would probably be quite expensive, as I recall them saying. Peter, I think, was the one who had suggested something like that.
Yeah, I must say I don't – a lift is a pretty small thing.
Yeah. Well, it takes all the mechanics.
How expensive it is, I have no
idea. All right.
And the other thing I want to say is a lot of these troubles have to do with this room.
Yeah.
We're kind of being forced into this. The room was looked at many times previously and was rejected as the county legislative chambers because of these kind of difficulties. Even though it seems very large when you walk in there because of the wonderfully vaulted ceiling, the distance when you start putting all of the desks that are necessary into it and the daises and the podiums, you start running out of space in the length of the proscenium real fast. Not proscenium, the vault real fast.
All right. This seems like a very detailed discussion. So I would like to go with Frank, and then we could go with Dewey. So do you want to talk directly about this?
Yes.
Okay. Then go. We'll have Dewey, then Frank, and then Martha. Right. But then I'd like us to move on after that, if possible.
There were a lot of people remembering things. I think all correctly, all of those comments were made and heard. Mm-hmm. They were somewhat contradictory. I felt sorry for the architects being told things that were hard to put together, and I don't remember that Martha's recollection was the directive to the architects. I remember it more closely the way Mike described it. My concern about the space and what I wanted to talk about was what was said earlier on by Mike. He mentioned that we had to make a choice about the screens, and we did by a split vote. I don't know if the sheets are still hanging up there, so if anyone walked in, you could still see what it looked like. But it felt very different to some of us. Some people really like being far away from a big screen, and some people like looking straight ahead at something that they can see without being turned this way all the time. And I thought that that was the kind of decision that really all legislators should weigh in on, not just the CPR committee, especially because we were split. So if you have a chance to go in, and if the sheets are still up, you should really look at them. I preferred the two sides, I will tell you, not just because it's more comfortable to look ahead and speak ahead, but because the single screen is on the north side, which is where the bench is that people are seem to be very concerned about, but it's only the north side of the building that has the beautiful curved apse, which was the one historic part of that building that should not be messed with. And by having a screen that rolls up into a rectangular box sitting up there, you're messing with that end. So that was the other thing that influenced my liking two screens.
Okay.
The question about acoustics, Mike summarized accurately. There was certainly some feeling that we can see how well it works once we have our microphones and are sitting in our desks and we see how some acoustical baffling works. But one of the pieces had to do with the glassed-in balcony because that glass reflects sound. And the architects had originally wanted to put something up there. And there were strong feelings on the committee that it was important to see the window back there, which you can see from some parts of the room but not from others. But it does let some light in. If, however, you thought about removing the glass, and you would have to consider how noisy Jim's equipment up there is. He didn't think it was noisy. That would obviate some of the need for the acoustical baffling on the walls. So we didn't talk about, you didn't mention the glass, and that was another possibility, which we will, I guess, wait and see what happens. They were asked to consider that as part of the acoustic question. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. All right, Frank, and then Martha.
Thanks, Nathan. I didn't know that we were going to spend this evening, or I'd have brought my entire file on from that committee. I didn't know that we were going to rehash the details tonight and express our personal remembrances or preferences, even though votes were taken at the committee meeting moving certain things forward. My understanding was when the chairwoman charged the committee with looking at this, we're supposed to bring recommendations back to the board. And I don't think we're at that point yet. We're still reviewing items. My suggestion would be, instead of all of us speculating on what we think we remember, Kathy takes pretty good notes at these meetings. And I would suggest that if you don't receive them, ask her for a copy of the minutes so that we don't spend another 35 minutes going around the room trying to remember what somebody may or may not have said. I'm sorry to sound so blunt, but some of you thought we were going to be out of here by 7 o'clock, and guess what? That's not going to happen. Mike, I appreciate the work that the Capital Programs Committee is doing. Invite everybody to the meeting.
They're always invited.
All right, last comment, Martha.
Yeah, very briefly. Well, so with that comment, I won't mention that I think it's true. Carol's remembrance is about right, that they talked about lowering it one step. And so, but I think the other issue is they brought it forward, which because they wanted the screen to be behind the bench, and that changed the geometry a lot. So, anyway.
Good.
Thanks.
All right, thank you, Capital Plan Review Committee. Next, we have Government Operations Committee. Julie Kiefer, Chair.
We met on Friday, July 13th, and we met again this afternoon. At the July 13th meeting, I did not report at our last meeting that we had heard from finance and county clerk and board of elections, not on budget issues, but on the status of their operations and any forward-looking comments they wanted to share with us, things they would like to be able to do if they could, things that they could see looming. The next GO meeting will be not on August 10th, but on August 17th, because we had quorum problems. It'll be August 17th from 9:30 to noon, and at that meeting, we will hear from three other entities that report to us, the county attorney, I'm going to get this wrong, assessment, and I think the History Center. And we will also finally be responding to the charge from the legislative chair to take a look at the county clerk's office, whether it should be elective or appointive. And in connection with that, there will be a fair amount of material in the agenda packet as background, which I hope everyone will read so that we can immediately begin discussing, is this a complicated problem? What else do we need to know? Are we going to need any extra meetings to deal with this? Or is it something that we can get a handle on fairly quickly? We're supposed to have an interim report to the chair September 1st. We'll have something. I don't know what. But we'll be using a significant block of that meeting to talk about this. And I guess that's really all I need to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dewey. All right, PDEQ Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, we, like other committees, had two meetings this past month. We had a special meeting to discuss two documents that have come to us from the Planning Department. One is the Tompkins County Conservation Strategy document, and the other is the Development Focus Areas Strategy. And these are both important sort of visions for what will be done in our county that we as a committee have looked at and did not end up voting on, but probably we're hoping to bring this to the whole legislature relatively soon. And I would encourage everybody, if you're not familiar with these, to go to the Planning Department website and look for them. I think they're both online, and they're both worth a good look. And we also had an item that hadn't been on our agenda, but sort of we've sort of been aware of for some time, which is the very perilous funding situation of Tompkins County Area Development. Mm-hmm. And the fact that something is going to need to be done, and I know Joe has some ideas for this budget year, but there is a longer term situation that really, really is going to take some thought. Talking with Joe has brought forth informally the idea of setting up a special committee to explore alternative funding approaches, and we look forward to hearing that idea, and we'll continue that discussion. Our next meeting is on September 5th, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, Will. Carol?
Yeah, I just have a follow-up. I had asked, I sat in on some of that meeting, and moving forward with the development focus area plan, there is a little tiny version of the map that shows what is considered to be the urban area, urban center of the city of Ithaca, and I had requested to see that in greater detail. And in fact, when I got the greater detail, it comes across very differently. In fact, I had thought what they were trying to show with that map is a smaller area that didn't encompass the full city. In fact, it encompasses out of the city into the town of Ithaca. Yeah. It really isn't clear, and I don't understand why it wouldn't be easy to just add the larger version of that map to that plan. So I would like to pass along that
comment and request that that happen. And especially if it's going to come to us for action, for the legislature, it would really be helpful to have that map.
Okay.
All right. With that, we have two committee reports to go. And so, Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Nate. Broadband Committee met on July 23rd. We spent the majority of our time at that meeting taking a very detailed look at the results of the phone survey that had been conducted by the Survey and Research Institute. We were particularly looking for themes that might have emerged from a number of different responses, and we had some really good committee discussion around that report. There is now a small subcommittee working on putting together a final report, which we will be sending to SRI, and I will also make that final report available for all of you as soon as we finish working on it. That should be, I think, within the next couple of weeks we should have that ready, hopefully. We also are going to be having a special meeting of the Broadband Committee this coming Tuesday on August 14th, and at that time we are going to be continuing to work on the draft RFI that we had originally started working on at our special meeting back in May. Since the last time we worked on that, the draft that we're working on has been reviewed by the county attorney, and it's going to be also reviewed by the Director of Emergency Response and by our IT director, so that we will have lots of input from our own staff people into that process also. Following that special meeting, we will make a decision at the time of that special meeting as to whether or not we'll go ahead with our regular meeting date this month. We moved it up because our goal for having the RFI ready to go out is the end of August. And by moving that up a week, it will give us time to do the follow-up work that we may need to do. So hopefully we'll be able to publish the RFI by the end of August.
Okay. Any questions for Pat? Carol?
I just am curious as to whether Pat, you or anybody else here sat in on or was invited to sit in on this the call with the White House for local innovation related to technology.
I'm not aware.
Okay,
of
well,
that.
Off the floor somewhere I can
okay.
give you some feedback as I did call
we
in
did,
to that.
We did have some members who sat in on a webinar recently that had to do with federal broadband policy and initiatives and direction that the federal government is looking to go in the near future, but I think that's a little bit different than what you're talking about.
Okay. Thank you very much, Pat. All right. And then now we have the Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee report from Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you, Nathan. We had a Budget Committee meeting today at 5. We passed 5 resolutions in 9 minutes. Second thing that I want to talk to you about is our meeting is going to be moved to August 20th at 3:30 rather than August 27th, and I think we sent out that notice weeks ago, so please, people on the committee, adjust their schedule accordingly. I want to make one comment about the new place that we may be with the legislature. And it sort of had a sports bar feel to it to me with the two screens. And my other comment that I want to make, and this is a serious comment, I mentioned early on after Joe's report about compressing the number of budget meetings. If there are people interested in doing that, please email me and let me know. We now do 2 months worth of email budget meetings over a 2-month period to get to the budget. Many counties bigger than us, bigger budgets, do it in much less time. If people are truly interested in doing that, that would be something I would love to know. I don't want to know it tonight. I want you to think about it, send me some emails, send it to Joe or Kathy or whoever. If you're at all interested in compressing the number of meetings to fulfill our duty to get a budget for 2013.
Okay. All right.
That concludes my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. All right. I have Brian and then Dooley. Peter.
Jim just said he didn't want to know right now, but that's too bad. I'm going to tell you right now. I think that idea has merit, and I don't know if you were joking before an actual weekend retreat, because I think a whole lot of time is spent going to a subsequent meeting. It might be a week later,
yeah.
And a large part of that meeting is just re-educating and remembering what took place a week ago versus, you know, having all that information right there. And I do understand that would be a huge commitment on everyone's part, a lot of planning, and probably a lot of stress on staff as well. But it may prove, it's certainly worth considering, because it may prove to be a much more efficient way of doing things.
Thank you, Brian.
May I answer? It started out, I mean, sometimes you say thing in jest and hope that people hear it. I don't predict how anybody relates to what I say. But, you know, if anyone wants to do that, I'm truly serious about letting me know. I have one person who's already brought it up, and I really didn't even clear this with Joe or the department. So, you know, it could be that he might say to me, forget it, Jim, I don't want to do that.
Okay. All right. I have Dooley, then Peter, then Carol, then Frank. Did you also have something? Yes, okay. All right. So go ahead, Dooley.
What I heard you say earlier was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I wanted to see if that was a serious suggestion. So I'm gathering it
Dooley,
is.
Dooley, I really don't want to discuss it. If you would send me an email or send me somebody something about that, I think anything could be on the table.
I wanted to ask if that was serious, and it is, Friday,
yes,
Saturday, and
absolutely.
Sunday.
Absolutely, but anything could be on the table.
So you don't want to hear from me? I will say I think that's a terrible idea.
Well, I appreciate your confidence.
And I will,
and your comment.
I will contact with you in more detail at a later date.
Okay. All right, I have Peter, then Carol, then Frank.
Yeah, I have a question for you or anybody else who can answer it for me, having nothing to do with what you just said. I noticed in the, but it has to do with the budget, that's for sure.
Okay.
I noticed in the Ithaca Journal something that I read and I said, this must be wrong because I've never heard of it. But I think it was right because I see it again in this little New York Post article that was passed around. Namely, that there is yet another tax cap, which is in the Constitution, which limits the amount that we can raise our taxes. And I'd never heard of that. And I'm just wondering, what is it, and how far are we away from it?
You mean a constitutional
tax? The constitutional tax.
Every municipality in New York State has a constitutional
tax. Well, I didn't know that, so I'm now asking.
But don't believe everything you read in the New York Post.
Okay. So anyway, I'm asking people who know the answer to the question, how close are we to that constitutional limit?
We're very far away. We have only consumed somewhere between 30% and 35% of our constitutional tax limit. Compare that to Cortland, which is currently in the mid-90s in terms of their constitutional tax limit.
And
so we are well within that limit.
And there's also a constitutional debt limit.
Right.
That we all have to live by.
Okay.
I just wonder, does that mean... I mean, it must, the limit must have to do with what the assessed value of the property is. Does that mean that they have three times, Cortland has roughly three times our tax rate?
Tax rate, I don't know if that, my mind isn't working quickly enough. They've, it is tied to your full value. It's based on an average of your last several years of full value, but it's a relationship to that. And again, I think their burden is probably...
Okay, so it's not a problem for us, really, is what I'm...
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Carol, then Frank.
I am not going to weigh in on when the Budget Committee ought to meet as the expanded group, but I will request that we get ourselves into trouble when we change our schedules and don't do it with enough notice to people. So if we are going to look at something that's very different from what we've been doing, I think it really is important to do it right away if you're going to be looking for other times.
Jim, you have a response to that?
Let me repeat what I said earlier. If you're at all interested, no, we are not going to change anything if there is no interest. I'm not about doing something that no one wants to do. Trust me.
Okay. I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
Just not all right. To pick the weekend, not to get into September and be picking a weekend for September or October.
Go ahead, okay. Go ahead, Frank.
Jim, I'm not going to comment. However,
yeah, right, you won't comment, but you won't comment.
But, are you in your thinking process? You know, the expanded budget committee
right.
Works. I think works pretty well.
Yeah.
Have you thought far enough ahead about whether or not, if you collapse the time, you may actually limit the opportunity for some people to come?
Well, there are consequences if we do that. Certainly, I've thought about that. But, you know, I just want to say to you, if it's something you all want to look at, then we could look at that. If no one wants to look at it and they just say, and I get comments like, Jim, you're nuts, you know, fine. I mean, we'll set up the schedule as we always have done and proceed. But, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Does that conclude your report?
That's it, Nate.
All right. Thank you so much.
I'll move the minutes.
All right. We moved. Frank moves the minutes. Can I have somebody to second the meetings? The minutes, I mean. All right. Okay. Dewey?
I would call your attention to packet page 30, which has the minutes. Page 9. At that meeting, I had asked my vote against adding reference to dredging in the invasive species law be explained in the minutes. And they really aren't. It really wasn't done. I would like it to read, Ms. Kiefer said she would not support the resolution because of the addition about dredging, since there is no deadline requiring action now, without taking time to consider the implications of this change. And that's what I would like to see in the minutes, the explanation.
You did.
All right. What do we do?
It's friendly.
Is it friendly? All right. Then it's friendly. Okay. Thank you, Dewey. Anything else on the minutes? All right. All those in favor of the minutes, please raise your hands. All who oppose?
We accommodated your concern, and you're not going to support the minutes?
I can't.
Okay. All right, so what is it? One opposed.
Actually, I would like to be opposed to the minutes.
You would like to be opposed to two opposed.
Because of that comment.
Okay, all right. Wait, seriously, Carol, you want to be opposed?
I often vote against the minutes.
All right, no problem. All good. Okay, terrific. Anything else? All right.
Is there an executive session?
No.
Okay. All right. So, can we move to adjourn?
Yes.
All right. So, move seconds. Okay. Roll seconds. All right. All those in favor? All right. Thank you so much and have a great day. We finished before 9.
But, hey, Nate, are you going to attend the Lansing barbecue and the thing in Dryden as the congressional candidate?